It's the Real Kipper and Bourne Show, Toronto Maple Leaf Edition. Nick Kiprios, Justin Bourne, Sammy McKee, Derek Brandeo, Jake the Snake Schultz with you for the next 2 hours. We are live on Sportsnet 590, The Fan, Sportsnet 360, and Sportsnet Plus. Hope it was a good weekend.
Happy Mother's Day to everyone.
Great Mother's Day, I hope, for everyone. The sun's out. Sammy?
End of good things.
It's all good. List. I believe on Friday, JB, of our show, you kind of left us with two games before we come back on air on Monday and what it could look like. You said, could it possibly be over?
Yeah. I think it could be over.
Yeah, that's what I meant.
It could be 2-2.
You left us with the thought that it... I wasn't suggesting that you still told us that it was going to be over, but you left us with... it's very seldom that we disappear and then come back, and then you could either be tied or the series could be over.
Massive swing over that weekend, and the swing swung.
It did. It did. And I think it's a reminder of a best of seven could be a very short series when it comes to certain points of a series and how it could just be that fork in the road. Mm-hmm. And obviously Friday, it was the swing of one goal, a 3-0 commanding lead or a 2-1 series lead. Mm-hmm. And obviously we know where we are today, and, you know, you guys tell me where you want to start, because there's a ton to get into here, and I'm sure it'll obviously fall on guys like Austin and Willie and Mitch, of course. But what was the biggest thing that you got out of the two losses in Florida?
Well, I think the Florida Panthers looked a lot better at home. In fact, the game they played in game four was the most complete game I've seen any team play in playoffs. Like, there was just at no point did I think the Leafs were going to score a goal. Sitting there halfway through the game, watching the way Florida was playing, they were so tight. So they have beat the 8 of the last 9 teams they've played in a playoff series. They are the defending champs. They looked like the defending champs. It was never going to be a walk, but the Leafs fell short, had no answers, and we'll sit here over the next 3 days and hope to find the problems and find the answers.
Sammy, you led the charge last night on your Leaf Talk with J.D. Bunkus and J.B. here. And
I never lead the charge in that show, buddy.
No. You're
I'm the emotional.
I'm the Bobby McMahon of that show. I'm a passenger.
Your emotional state, I think, leads it. And, hey, listen, I don't know if I could ever truly do that show a mere 15 minutes after the game is over.
Less. Ideally less.
So, you know, you also have the unique situation of doing it last night and then coming right back at it another hour. And just how does it change for you, 12 hours later?
Well, I don't know. I woke up today and my mentions on X and my DMs and my texts and my friends, I got to tell you, boys, it's a wasteland. Mm-hmm. It's an absolute wasteland with Leaf fans. And I guess that's to be expected. Like, it's a pretty reactionary fan base. As everybody knows, we've been through a lot over the last 9 years with this team. But I got to tell you, like, to Leaf Nation people listening, like, I'm clearly upset, and there's lots of things I'm upset about over the past two games. But if I sat you down, we go all the way back to October, and I sat you down, I said, the Leafs have a best-of-three series with the defending Stanley Cup champions in the second round of the playoffs with home ice advantage. No. Would you sign up for that? And what percentage of Leaf fans would say no? Right. It's just the process on the weekend sucked. That Friday night game, if they lose this series, will haunt me till the day I die. Morgan Riley down the left wing, off the post, didn't go in. Greasy rat bounce in overtime. Marchand skating towards
Friday.
Skating towards the camera, making me want to barf. I understand how annoying and crappy the weekend was.
Yeah.
But I do think that we are due here for a little bit of perspective. Is that allowed?
Hey, I love it. They're not in a bad spot, pal. I agree.
The series is not over. And it's just, like, the Stars stunk last night. I get it. There was some brutal parts of that game, but it's just, it's not over.
See, I watched last night's game, and I know the heat on Matthews, particularly right now, more so than we've ever seen before, but I've seen the Leafs have success even without him scoring and leading a charge.
They've won the most games they've ever won in the era without him scoring.
They're clearly deeper. That was a big a part of why we've talked all season long that it's different this year. It looks different. It feels different is because what was around those guys. But the concern for me last night was their team game. Not a couple of guys having trouble, including Matthews, Marner, Willie last night, okay? They did not have a presence as a team last night. My biggest concern is that there was no sustained forecheck. JB, you showed me the start of the first period last night, just before we went on air, which we seldom do share even that much.
Right.
But you're like, come and tell me what you think of this first shift. And I saw it, and I'm like, that's what I saw the majority of the game. To me, the bigger picture isn't necessarily all on Austin Matthews tomorrow night, or Wednesday night, I'm sorry. It's, can you guys get out of your own zone, make two passes without having a forward face the wrong way?
Mm-hmm.
Like, how many times did we see the D up to the forwards, but the forwards' toes are facing back to Joseph Woll? They're not going the other way.
Right. Yeah. Hey, this is so much about going forward to me. It's tough, Kip, but I'm on the fence with that one about the Stars and the team game versus those guys. Because I think what happens when the score is tied or close and you haven't got goals from the first line, people start going, hey, who else do you point to? Who else do you hope it is? Where is it? Bunk asked us after the game last night. He said, Leafs are down 1-0 the whole third period. What was your favorite Matthews Marner moment? What was the moment where you thought they would ever? And we both sat there and went, oh my God, did they have the puck? I don't remember if they had the puck for a second in that period. So that's frustrating. And to me, it's like everything else around it can be bad, can be worked on, whatever. But like that part has to be better first, where Matthews in particular, I feel like needs to attack, needs to be more assertive, needs to whatever. But then, there is no going around the Panthers. The whole team is going to have to go through them. It's going to be physical. It's going to be dirty. And you just have to accept that that's what it is.
The thing that was very spooky about last night is what I thought it might look like throughout the series. Is it just at times they were engaged physically, like Benoit throws that huge hit and Berube thought that they were the more physical team last night, all this different stuff. But it just kind of felt like they were sick of getting hit last night. You know, like it just felt like there was a bit of the Panthers were just really, really on it last night. And it just, that's what scares you.
I thought game 5 against Ottawa was more about the Stars than this, though. Like game 5 against Ottawa was Columbus. It was Montreal. It was, you should beat this team and your Stars aren't good enough.
Yeah.
That was a really good Florida team.
Well, and again, just to go back to your point, I don't know if that's appreciated enough, JB.
Mm-hmm.
Your first point out of the day here is that this is a Florida team, I think, that looks at the opportunity to go back-to-back. Like, I won one Stanley Cup. I thought we had a chance for a second one. We knocked off Quebec, and they were ranked number one when we beat them. And the feeling was, we're going to do this again 2 in a row.
Mm-hmm.
The difference between winning one Stanley Cup and two is two almost puts you in a different class altogether on how you will be remembered.
Consecutive cups is the difference.
Consecutive cups. 100%. And then you're one of the greatest in history with your dad and the Montreal Canadiens. That is next level stuff. The Oilers class.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But 2 in a row for Florida, they look like a team that does not want to waste that opportunity. And if by chance they find a way to get to a final and maybe win the thing again, they will be considered, I think, one of the best teams in the past 30 years, yeah. right? Since the inception of maybe the salary cap, when it comes to being big-time gamers, potential future Hall of Famers, they look like a team that will not let this opportunity slip. And others can find a way to want to quit. They don't want to quit.
Do you remember Game 6 and Game 7 of the Stanley Cup Final, how many points Connor McDavid had against them?
I don't Skunked. Know. Like one, zeros, one assist, one assist in like four or five games.
He had zeros nothing. And he had two shots nothing. Total. They shot him so, right down. And, my point is that great players have a hard time with a good Florida defense.
Matthews, Marner, they're feeling like how many potential future Hall of Famers does the Florida Panthers have right now? Barkov, you know, Reinhardt. I don't know where they end up, but like two consecutive Stanley Cups gets them right there. Like they are playing a very hard team.
For sure they are, but Kipper, Austin Matthews has paid the most amount of money in the National Hockey
League. I'm not taking him off, off the hook.
And, you know, Marner this offseason wants to be in that echelon. You have to be able to push through and be better than those guys.
Answer me this question.
Yes.
Can the best of the Florida Panthers beat the best of the Leafs, in your opinion?
I don't think that the best Florida players are as good as the Leafs' best players. I think Matthews and Marner are the best, and Willie, too.
No, they're the most talented, but they're not the best, JB.
And I don't have Reinhardt above them. I don't have Bennett above them. Barkov, maybe.
Reinhardt's a player, man.
We do not agree.
He is a player. I would take him over Willie in one game to win it all day long. I would take Barkov over Matthews all day long on one game to win it all. It just seems that they have a little bit of that extra recipe.
I want horses back there.
Until they can prove that they can get over these humps, I don't know how you can pick anybody on the Leafs over Florida right now.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, they've won, so it's hard for me to sit here and be like, you're wrong.
Yeah,
but I know. I'm not going to say you're wrong.
I know.
But,
as far as talent, it's there.
Yeah.
But right now, Matthews is missing the it factor for me.
Yes.
It's the dog factor, right? It's the, you know, not willing to accept this result factor. And Marner, too. To me, the two of them, you see the frustration. I saw someone say yesterday after the last game, I thought Matthews looked frustrated after that Bobrovsky save. He looked frustrated. And why do we think frustration's a problem? That's great. He should be so frustrated. He should be pulling his hair out.
He's
begging to get out there.
He's not.
I know.
He's not.
I agree that it's not. He's not frustrated.
He's the same no matter what.
Right. So that's the point I'm making.
So I wasn't thrilled with Connor McDavid's screaming at the top of his lung behavior, right? I mean,
but he wants results to be different.
But I would take that over what Matthews shows.
Yeah. And, you know, same for me when guys, you know, when they're getting hit and they look to the ref rather than the player who just cheap shotted them or something. It's like, go get mad at the guy who did it. Don't look to dad to come in and help. Anyway, I don't think they've been that bad. And we started the show off saying
they have not been that bad. And like, they're even with when they're out there with Barkov. We know the matches changed.
They're better than the Barkov line in this series.
They are because Barkov got the one power play goal.
Yeah.
So they're even on 5-on-5.
Yep. They've controlled a lot of the underlying numbers when they get to play.
We're talking about one Willie giveaway there in the neutral zone that Bennett scored the second goal. That's all they've given up to those guys.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't. Sorry.
Well, I just, you know, the thing that is tough to swallow because we've talked about how they need contributions from other guys in all these different playoff series. And for the most part, they've gotten it. Mm-hmm. Like, think about what they did in the first round. Like, Simone Benoit scored an overtime winner. Max Pacioretty scores the series-clinching goal against Ottawa. Game two against the Panthers, Pacioretty has 2 points, including the one in the power. Like, you know, their defensive scored at a higher rate than they have all year. So it's hard for me to be like, wow, you know, they're depth. They're not like it's not a prioritized scoring depth.
Yeah.
They've gotten a lot of depth, quote-unquote. Domi scored an overtime winner. Domi scored goals in this. And in the tough games, when it looks like that, that's what frustrates
people. It gets tighter.
And that's what frustrates people the most.
When it gets tighter, Marner doesn't have the puck enough.
He can't go two games without a shot, Kip.
He's not getting the puck enough.
He's got to go get it. He has to get into traffic a little bit. He can't be outside.
Is he the guy and the guy that goes and gets his own puck, though?
But if he can't, right? Then that's a problem.
They don't, when they have it, they don't keep it.
Neither of them are getting it. They don't move it.
They're not passing the puck. It's remarkable to watch Florida come out of their own zone, and they're like these short passes. They're close. They're supportive. They can string 4, 5, 6, 7 passes in a row. I don't see that from the Toronto Maple Leafs. I see dump and chase. Mm-hmm. I see where is the second forechecker. I barely got the first one on my television screen. It's a different look when it comes to passing the puck for me.
Yeah, you know, it's a little playing the result, and I think we did this on Leafs Talk a little bit, or at least in our text messages, where it's like, the score is 1-0, so everything the Leafs are doing is bad, you know? And if it's 1-0 for the Leafs, everything they're doing is good, and that is like the way we perceive this. It's 2-2 in the series, the most recent games were bad. Do you think they couldn't break the puck out in games 1 and 2? Like, they had a tough time these past two games, but I don't think this is something they scored
a beautiful transition goal with, you know, the four touches with Lorenz backhand. Yes. So, like, they can do it. Yes, they can do it.
Yeah.
They can do it. It was tough in Florida. But they didn't do it in Florida.
No.
And Florida cranked it up, boys. They weren't even remotely physically or even emotionally where they were on the weekend in those first two games in Toronto. They took it to another level, and now it's on the Leafs to bump their bar up.
This is what it's all coming down to with Matthews and Marner. It's those guys have said, oh, we need to find this. And every time we run up against that with these guys, it's that's what where's this? Where's your next step to match that or to better it?
But, I mean, just to push back a little bit on Florida turning it up, like, they were unbelievable last night.
Yeah.
Game 4, it's just like you couldn't get a sniff of anything. And I give them full credit for that. Friday night, boys, was such a winnable game.
Winnable, for sure.
And if Joseph Woll plays the way he did last night on Friday, we're sitting here talking about a 3-1 series. He cost them, like there was multiple bad goals in that game where he was just not good enough. And the Leafs were great in that game. They had a couple mistakes here and there. They scored 4 again on Bobrovsky. I'll definitely agree that last night Florida turned it up big time, but Friday night was so winnable. So winnable.
My worry for the Leafs is that we're going to look back
at game 3.
At game 3
forever.
And it will be the regrettable loss.
I totally agree. If they lose this series, that'll haunt me forever, that game.
Regrettable.
Yeah.
Last night, even if they were up 3-0, That's almost a scheduled loss.
Yeah, you're due to take an L to the chance.
Doesn't matter.
You're not sweeping them.
No.
Yeah.
So that one was the one they needed was Friday. On Friday.
Yeah. And that's, I think, where you're looking for the Matthews goal. You're just like, it could be there. Could it be even the next game when they didn't deserve to win? Can you steal one? And that's why people are frustrated. That's why he should be frustrated, but.
All right,
we haven't played a clip yet.
Let's go to.
Oh my God, do we have any clips today? Hold
on. I haven't been busy.
What was I doing?
Canceled the national. Right. Two Leafs hours today.
Our first Kipper's Clipper with Craig Berube on his overview last night.
Well, they were good. They checked us hard tonight, but you know the first period we're in a box the whole period, so you can wipe that period out. Too many penalties. You know we had looks. It's like. They're doing a good job with swarming us with numbers, obviously, and we got to do a better job of getting that puck out of there quicker. And you know, I thought we were really coming in the third with some opportunities and moving the puck better in the offensive zone. And then you know, we took a penalty, we took another penalty, kind of ruined our momentum a little bit, but. You know, it's a battle out there, and this is what it is. They don't give you a lot, so we capitalize on some of the opportunities we had. It's a different game, right?
Matthew Nyes had the whole top of the net. Sailed it.
It was a tough, awkward spot on Bobrovsky, the one save he made.
Okay,
but the breakaway, he had the whole left side of the net. guarantee goal.
Guaranteed.
He's been pretty automatic. To me, it's like you can't score every breakaway.
It was Mother's Day. I was writing home to Mama Boys. I thought that was 100%.
Honestly, I thought backhand, forehand, backhand, up over the glove again something.
I just thought he scored on so many of these. Like it just, he can't keep doing this, you know.
It's a good shot. He had the whole top of the net, just missed.
And that's the save that.
He didn't save it, did he?
I think he got a piece of it. Did he not?
I thought it was clean. I thought he sailed it.
Oh, you did? Okay. I thought he sailed it. All right, maybe I'm wrong. Yeah. Maybe I'm wrong. But Bob was.
Bob made
no leak. No leakiness on Bob. Yeah.
But I mean, I think a few people will be like, oh, another playoff shutout for the grizzled veteran. Like they had, what, they have two slot shots? Like they couldn't get to them. It was a Chris Osgood in the 1990s shutout. Like there wasn't a ton of high danger for me. But he was okay. He made some good saves, but
he did his part.
He is now tied for the sixth most among active goaltenders for shutouts.
Yeah.
And if you would have told me he's tied with Peter Mrazek, I would have told you.
What? Who do you play for?
What?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know who he played for.
What did you make of all the penalties?
Yeah. Oh God, it just Domi's first one 2 minutes in with a stick up around his visor.
Reckless.
Yeah, just.
It's a penalty.
It's a penalty.
McMahon one.
It's a penalty.
Boarding. Eh. Early. If you're trying to send a message that boys don't start that crap, it's a penalty.
The problem is there's no point where his numbers aren't visible to McMahon. There's no point. You know, it's not like. And a last second turn.
And I feel for McMahon here too, boys. Because,
trying to be physical. Because
he could probably feel that. I don't think they're going to take him out. Like, what are they going to bring in Robertson for? Like, but he's not really contributing a ton here. Been a bit of a passenger
for. This is the most games he's ever played in a season. Got to be by twofold.
Yeah, and it's just, he's probably struggling. And Brube's like, you got your big body. Keep trying to battle. He sees his shot and he hammers him into the boards. But I thought it was.
Puck over the glass, delay a game. And
hooking the hands and eyes.
They almost,
I don't know if that's a penalty.
They almost weathered the storm here, and it was looking pretty good. And then it's like.
It's always the dumb
penalty. They just need the one opportunity, and great they pass. Got it great on the game-winning goal. Yeah. And it was a great pass.
For Hagee again. But God.
It's, even if you were able to kill all of it, it's so taxing, guys, on your penalty killers. And it's just, it's stressful. It's managing very stressful minutes, which can sap a lot of energy out of you.
Well, and you get your lineup is all out of whack, right? You have...
That's a pretty good hook.
You know, some of the guys who don't PK never get on the ice. Some of the guys who do PK are exhausted. The Leafs have been so good. When they win, their time on ice distribution is usually so tight. And last night, they just didn't have a chance to keep it remotely.
Hold on. Before we move on, the puck over the glass. Did you hear like an audible clunk when he shot it out? I don't know if I was listening. It just sounded like it hit something.
I do know what you're talking about.
And I was like, what?
I do.
So the refs get together and they have their little meeting there and they're like, did you see anything?
Yeah.
They must have hurt. Like I thought it hit something. I thought it hit the glass.
The replays showed it was clearly.
It was, but it sounded like it hit something.
I know what you're talking about. The only reason it felt like maybe it didn't is because Ekman-Larsson was pretty adamant it hit something.
Yeah. But, I would be too. Yeah.
Let's go to Craig Berube on the penalties. Clip three.
That is, like, we don't need to take those, you know. Hookings and, you know, interference, like... You know, we got to be better. We'll be smarter than that. But in the end, I really liked our physicality, our compete out there. Guys played hard. It's a tough series. They're a very good team. We know that. And it's a battle.
Yeah, it certainly is. And Benoit, I think he smoked Reinhart behind the net.
That's a big hit.
How does Sam get up after that?
I don't know.
He took three strides from 3 feet away. I don't know how he did that, but it was forceful.
They're there, you know, and sometimes you got to fight a little dirty. I didn't mind the OEL hit.
On Rodriguez?
Yeah, I didn't mind it at all.
I didn't mind that either.
Didn't mind
I know
it at
it's
all.
Illegal.
And it's 2 minutes.
Yep, for sure.
And it's take your chances on
if he
killing
touches
it.
The puck.
Take your chances on killing it, but that's a good lick on a guy that just ran Tavares's head into the boards. Mm-hmm. Like, at least the boys can show that you know what, we know who you are, and we got a little bit of that back in your face. And even the Domi at the end of the game, pay that fine all day long, but give Barkov a good run too. I'm okay with that. It's let him go.
You're pro sore loser, and I like that.
I got two questions for you about that.
Yeah.
So the first thing is, does Domi have to pay the fine?
Yes.
Okay, it's coming out of his pocket. The Leafs aren't footing that bill for him?
No, they're not allowed.
Okay. The second thing is, you've watched the way the Panthers bench reacts to, like, a greasy shot. It's just, like, they act like they haven't been trying to take guys out the entire series, too. Like, see that Mikkola play where I don't know who it was, riding Nylander towards the boards? He's looking right at him, and he opens up the gate.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. You thought that was on purpose?
100%. Yeah. He's looking right at him.
Oh, yeah. Shove him right in.
That's so dangerous. I don't know. Like, I just...
Hey, Sammy.
Yeah.
It's a dangerous game.
But there's lots of teams
got Rodriguez on Tavares, Kulikov on Marner, yes. Ekblad on Wall. Obviously,
The backup goalie's playing because of a targeted shot that took a guy out of a series. They try to take Wall out the next game. Like, there is a certain part of their game.
And they're really good at it.
Sure, they're good. Yeah. But, like...
Not fair play, Sammy. No. It's not fair.
Whatever.
Tell the principal on you. Go to the principal's office, Sammy, and just say, you know what? This guy threw sand in my face.
Whatever.
Boys,
because
NHL playoffs, Sammy.
But, like, is every other team trying to just run guys? They're not doing the same way.
They're not good at it.
They're not as good as Florida.
You know why they're really good? Because they take out the other team's best players so they don't get to play.
They sure do.
It's just a little bit rotten. That's all.
Handle the truth.
But listen, I just have zero respect for any of them.
Other than
Marchand.
You can't handle the truth.
Yes.
Although Marchand at the end of the game, just classic fake tough guy move, dropping him with Bobby
McMahon. Once a line he got in there,
and
with
Bobby
down.
McMahon, he's like, oh, yeah, I'm the toughest guy on the ice. Like, give me a break.
We do have a bunch of clips on greasiness.
Let's go.
Why don't we start with Craig Berube on Panthers playing a greasy game, clip 6.
Yeah, no, it's normal. We expected it, and I think we're fine with it. You know, we're handling it. We're physical. I thought we were the more physical team last night.
And then we also have him on avoiding the Panthers' grease. Clip 9, please.
Well, I don't think it changes the direction we already been going, just hard between the whistles. And, you know, I think we're doing a good job of not retaliating or getting involved too much. I mean, things happen. That's part of the game, and there's nothing you can do about it. It's hard to avoid it all the time. But I think we're doing a good job of playing hard between the whistles and being physical and initiating, you know, and that's the key.
Yeah, I've got no problem with that either. I think they're fine there. For me, Wednesday night, they got to find a way to get through the neutral zone. Mm-hmm. I think Willie's forced pass to Tavares into triple coverage was a perfect example of how good Florida was taking away the middle.
So that's in my article today. That's one of the other clips I have. That was one of the first times, but it is a perfect example of Florida, but where the Leafs tried to not be a dump and chase team. They're down one. There's 8 minutes left, and they were like, we can't get it back on the forecheck. We're going to hang on to it. Tavares brought it back. Nylander brought it back, and they try to carry the puck in. Can't. When they're in their structure, you have to chip it past them.
It's hard rim.
It's the only way in.
And you got to come in with speed, and you got to have a group of guys going in there with some purpose.
I think you're thinking Tavares might tip it in is what
just
I'm
got no chance.
Guessing. But McCabe here, like, sure Tanev has the other guy, pal.
Yeah, that was not great. One more quick quibble about the fining and stuff, because Domi gets fined.
Yeah.
The Kulikov thing, not a fine? Not even a mention?
Wasn't even a two-minute minor.
Flying elbow and star player's
hand. It's not even a minor.
Regular season, it's a one-game suspension, two-game suspension.
So you can't even give a performative fine? They just pretend that it doesn't happen?
I don't know why. I have no idea. It could be around this game for 100 years. We're never going to figure it out.
Well, we probably should have some.
Ever.
Like, look at that. Okay. That's
it's dirty. He's trying to decapitate
him. I will say this, and this is, we'll get into this a little bit, in the National Hour, but Nicholas Waugh, cross-check in Vegas.
Yeah.
Just maximum of...
I don't get that.
That there's nothing.
Nothing.
Yeah.
Just a fine.
Yeah.
But, fine.
So you agree with me that, like,
I do.
Domi on Barkov. I mean, that's just. I mean, Berube said it. Play the clip here. We'll hear what he had to say. But clip number. Jesus, there's too many clips. Clip 5, Berube.
Well, you know, whatever. It's not like that's league's stuff. Mm-hmm. I haven't heard anything, so I don't know. I doubt it.
How important is it to stay?
To me, the Kulikov hit on Marner was 10 times worse. So
he wanted to say that. That was during the first answer of the first question.
He was like, whatever the question is, that's the old politician trick. You can ask me whatever you want. I'm answering this. About this.
I can't sit here and give you any reasonable explanation on why that was not penalized
doesn't
or fined.
It doesn't land enough.
It landed. You hit him.
Yeah, but
you think it skimmed?
I think it's a glancing.
It's a glance?
I think if Marner doesn't duck, the same as Tkachuk trying to take out his knees at the end of the one game. If
this
Marner doesn't high jump his leg, then there's a big thing, but he didn't really land the ball.
In all honesty, I've stopped kind of really, truly zeroing in and paying attention to what is and what isn't. And just play.
I mean,
just play.
If you're Florida, though, right? Why not continue to throw flying elbows at everybody? Because it goes unpunished every game, right?
So pick your spots if you're the Leafs and be a Benoit.
If I were Berube, I hope none of my players are talking like you. Like, enough. You know, like, okay, it's tough out there.
Well, they're obviously,
go play the hockey.
They're obviously
game.
Not.
Right.
They're not me.
But this is not why the score is why the score is to me.
Well,
it's an impact. It's one of 5,000,
why they had their backup goalie in, and he let in 5 bad goals on Friday night.
Yeah, and then he turned into a starting goalie on Sunday.
Sure, but he was backup on Friday.
We do have the coaches on the thing we talked about most, and people will be talking about most, which is Matthews, Marner, the lack of offense from those guys.
Okay.
Why don't we hear a couple clips on that?
Yeah.
You want to drive that bus, Sam?
Yeah,
is the Matthews one maybe on?
Yeah, from today.
Clip 7,
Matthews.
Well, you just got to keep playing. I get it, but he does a lot of other things in the game that really dictate things and, you know, does a great job with a lot of other areas of the game. And, you know, he's just got to keep focusing on that. I mean... You know, he's going to get his looks and just stick with what he's doing and don't get too frustrated with anything because it's not just about scoring goals. He's got a lot of other stuff he does really extremely well for us. And big goals coming. You know, that's the way you got to think about it. And who knows when it's going to happen, but just focus on playing the game. And he's doing a good job. He's doing a lot of good things for us. And I get he's... The puck's not going in the net for him. But again, it's not all about scoring.
It would be nice if it was a little
about
scoring.
Very consistent all season long. He will not challenge them publicly.
Yeah.
You don't think that's a spot where?
I think it could be a spot for sure. Yes. But that's not his style. He has been consistent all year. I'd rather him being consistent than... To me... Hearing him challenge Austin or Mitch now would go totally against the grain. To me, that's a bigger sign of being desperate than Craig sticking to his guns.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's play this clip. He got asked, I forget who asked him, but about Marner not having shots for 2 games. And this was his response. So that would be clip 12, please, Derek.
Yeah, I think he's looking to probably, I think sometimes your top guys, they looking to get too good of a chance sometimes instead of just putting a puck on net. And I think there's times where we could put more pucks on net at angles, bad angles, just firing it in there with people going in the net. You never know. It goes off somebody, rebounds or anything like that. So I think Mitch could just be a little bit more direct in that area. I think he has the puck a lot. We know that. And he's got to look to put more pucks in the net. I get what he's trying to do. Like, he wants upgrade the chance. He's probably looking to, you know, he's a passer first. We know that, but we need him to shoot pucks too. So, yeah, I agree with you on that. He, you know, 2 games without a shot, he's got to shoot the puck.
Yeah, give the puck to the net.
Yeah, that's as critical as he ever get.
So much of that, too, is like, because Florida is in their structure – a lot is going to have to come off broken plays, which you create by shooting the puck.
Look at the tying goal on Friday. Right. Shot it off the pad, hit off a guy's leg, goes into the net.
You have people at the net front. You have rebounds, screens. Nyes and Tavares are so good down there, and pucks are on the blue. That's it. There ain't secrets.
No, it's pretty simple.
Yeah.
It's pretty simple.
Get it to that part. Be there.
Between
out-muscle.
Between those hash marks, whack away at it.
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
There was actually a good clip of McMahon getting boxed out by Ekblad after one of the shots in the point last night. And I think Simmer was like, you got to spin really off good. That.
Ekblad, like, I tell you what, I don't think he gets the credit he deserves.
No, he looks really strong.
Is there a reason he'd be extra angry? Is there anything that would make him extra angry? It's just acting very mean out there.
They changed when he went back there.
Yeah. You know, their D goes from, all of a sudden you got Belinsky's and you got a pair that you feel like you can eat up, and now it's
Mikko,
like,
Mikkola?
Mikkola has become a player.
He's a mule out there.
Well, him
man.
And Jones are long, mule. Long sticks.
All right, we'll take a break. We still got some more clips, and we'll get into a little bit more of Austin Matthews and what we don't see out of the captain of the Toronto Maple Leafs when we return to Real Kipper and Bourne after these words.
Hey, it's Ben Ennis.
And I'm Brent Gunning.
We got you covered on all things Leafs, Raptors, and Blue Jays every weekday morning, 6 to 9.
It's the Fan Morning Show, Sportsnet 590 The Fan, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the program. Nick Kiprios, Justin Bourne, Sammy McKee. Leaf Hour edition of our program. The power play. A lot of people
we're
thinking that they got to change it up. I, for one, I don't believe that now's the time. Just to go back to my earlier comments, I think it would look more like a panic move than one that would suggest calmness, which is Berube's forte.
Yep. Yeah, I thought Blake Wheeler did an awesome job on the panel for Sportsnet this weekend. Really enjoyed his insights about the handedness of Florida and all that. On the Leafs one of the suggestions was Morgan Riley, and a lot of people in Leafs Nation would agree with him on that. I'm with you, though. They haven't had a successful Morgan Riley-led power play. I don't know, it's been five forwards since February or something like that. I think what needs to happen is an adjustment. Marner is their best bet up there to figure this out. But they need...
At the point. I'm starting to not like him up there.
Well, even if you don't like him up there, those five guys are your best offensive options. So they just need to be aware pressure is coming. The puck has to get to the net. And this is going to be a Tavares and Nyes power play series. It's not going to be a passed round zip seams.
I hang on to a power play. And I'm hating Austin just waiting on the flank, and
that's every flank player, right?
And when it comes to him, they're not dumb. They're taking away as much as they can, and then it's got to go back to the point. And he's just there's not enough movement for me for Austin. Over there. Mm-hmm. I don't know if he needs to swing in, maybe even in the bumper at times, but
you got Tavares.
It's just, I watch Florida's power play and they can take that puck from one side to the other. Watch how many rim arounds from one side to the other.
You like that?
It moves. It moves the box quickly.
Yeah.
And it opens up seams. Yeah. I like everything about their power play.
Oh, I don't.
It's behind the Leafs in the playoffs.
It doesn't matter. It looked way better.
Yeah.
And I think they have way better movement. I think they pass the puck a lot better on their power play. But, I think that and they got the one that they needed last night.
I mean, if you don't want Morgan out there and don't want to panic and you don't want Mitch at the point,
what you got? What are you doing?
You know, it's...
It's not... It's far from perfect.
Yeah.
I know.
It is. I agree that movement would be good.
Part of Mitch's problems when people get on him, he's not involved enough for me. He is the true best passer, best guy that can open up seams, move areas of the ice open. He's it. If he's just sitting there waiting I don't know if it's he's being.
Do you think his teammates need to find him more?
I think it would help if on the power play.
Mm-hmm.
Well, on the power play, you're only just going to feed the point.
Yeah.
But 5-on-5, yes, mm-hmm. I do believe that they got to get him the puck more.
But he doesn't. I mean, they got to get him the puck more. I mean,
yeah.
But I mean,
Austin's got to get him the puck more.
But part of his game is
Nyes has got to get him the puck more.
I mean, part of his game is supposed to be that pickpockety, like use his stick, use angles. Like that's part of his game too. Like Nyes is. I agree with Matthews, but Nyes is doing – he's in a fist fight every shift, Kipper. He's below the circles. Yeah. He's below the –
Nyes is the best player in this series for me.
He's been really good at that, trying to get pucks out, and I think he's done a pretty good job. But, like, Marner's got to pull his weight too, man.
No,
he does.
100%, Sammy, 100%. As far as Matthews is concerned,
mm-hmm.
the biggest concern I would have with him is he's lost his zip. He is a pitcher right now mm-hmm. without a fastball.
Yeah, I agree. And how do you mean it, though? Like with the shot? Or?
Yeah. It's not what it used to be.
Yeah.
He's not getting the action on it he's had in the past. And then certainly the inability to hit the net
mm-hmm.
seems to be an issue as well. But it's not snapping like it used to.
Yeah.
Now, does that go back to his wrist injury? Does it? I don't know. I mean, can you win faceoffs without a wrist?
I don't think we should act like he's hurt. I hear a lot of people.
I hate it.
Yeah, I hear a lot of people being like, hey, he must be hurt. And it's like,
Well, if he's hurt, then maybe he should be playing.
Yeah, well, what can't he do? Yeah, I see him throw hits. I see him win draws. I see him. He seems to be able to do everything. Excuse me. So, you know, I actually, so first off, I disagree with the missed nets thing. I do agree with the shot. The missed nets thing, I think, is overblown. He's had a few egregious ones, so people got talking about it, but his rates of missed nets are pretty in line. He just shoots it more than most players. Him and McDavid are tied for most shots. The thing that I think is his feet. I think he looks slow. I think, and he looks slow because he's not even trying to get up to speed most of the time. I did a thing in my article today where I looked at his top speed in regular season and in playoffs. In three straight years, he's like mid-60s, 60th percentile. At the top is good. And in playoffs, below 50th. Mid-60th, below 50th in playoffs. So he stops skating. I don't know if that's nervousness, pressure, whatever, but he's not skating the same way. And to me, that affects your shot because you're not creating separation. You're not getting open. You're not getting to spots the same way. And then when he...
Tired. Lazy?
Not lazy.
What is it?
I don't know. I think it might be pressure. I don't know. Where you just feel like a little jammed up. But the other thing is just with shots is like, it's legal to fake a shot or use some deception, a head fake, a look off, or something. That wrister on Bobrovsky, he just shoots it high glove. And then like, I remember a couple in this series where he's just no. But
that would bar down in years past.
Yeah. And but there's no.
In Rocket Richard years.
He's even fading away on that one. I want him to move. Move your feet.
Sammy, what do you see?
It's no oomph.
No oomph.
There's just no... Was it you that what you said earlier, the it factor?
The it factor.
The fear, you know, when he is at his best, it just feels like every shift he's winning puck battles, he's lifting sticks, he's getting it towards the front of the net. He's undeniable out there. And he just, even in the Ottawa series, you didn't see a ton of it. So maybe when you're just... The pressure's higher, and you know you got to fight for every inch. You just don't have the will to do it. I don't know, but it's very frustrating to watch.
Everyone's talking about
concerning.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, it's very concerning.
Well, everyone's talking about all these other numbers that he's doing great, these face-offs and, you know, possession numbers whatever. Block shots, all these other things he's doing well. But his hits are way down, too. He's never had below 9 hits per 60. He's at 7. So this something's really different right now.
I went on with Ivanka and Ken, and I talked about whether or not he can emotionally rise this time of year.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a look that doesn't look any different than what we saw earlier this year when he just plays.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, I don't want him being something that he's not, but when you're not scoring, there has to be a different look that presents itself that this is the playoffs and this is not the regular season.
Yeah.
And I don't see any difference.
Fundamentally, the core of what gave people questions were Matthews and Marner. And that question this time of year, when it's not going right, and it sucks that you play Florida because they're probably the toughest to play through.
Like, break them up then. Change it up.
Sure.
Like, give me Marner on the fourth line. Put Marner with Lawton for a shift here. Just change it
actually,
up.
Actually, I've liked Lawton. I'd be fine
change
with
him
more opportunity.
Get him away from Matthews. Get Matthews away from Marner for a couple of shifts. Start double shifting these guys in different areas. Like,
what's tough is doing what they did worked in Toronto the last two times. I'm with you. I'm ready for lineup changes, but...
Series doesn't start till somebody loses at home, Kip. So we're fine here, baby. We're all right. Good.
Okay. But if it starts off in 5 or 10 minutes and you start seeing some of the stuff bleed from game four to game five, don't sit there with and keep going to the well until it's 10 minutes and you're down a goal in the third, please.
I really don't think that will happen with Berube. He's never given me any indication outside of a couple blowouts in the regular season where he's really changed things up. He just, if they're going into game five here and they have a bad first 10 minutes and they're like breaking up Matthews, it's like the other team sniffs blood immediately.
Yeah. So I think
it's not that you're breaking them up for good, but just free it up a little bit with a couple of different looks a couple of rotations on a double shift.
Yeah, I agree.
That's all.
They don't have to play together. And by the way, like, you know, you saw Florida toggle their whole fourth line, it over.
Yeah.
You can live without, you know, Holmberg if Kampf is in there. You can live without Yarncroc if Robertson's in there. Yarncroc, for me, is the first guy out.
It's a lot of Yarncroc.
It's a lot of Yarncroc. Yeah. And, like, yeah, he kills penalties. Okay, he got lots of good kills.
I'd find a way to change the lineup. I would. I need
guys
energy. I need different energy.
Yeah.
Do you think you will?
I do. I think they will.
No, I don't know.
I don't think he will either. No.
Yeah, I don't see it.
There's good reason to not, right? This is the lineup that won in Toronto. If they get the matchups how they want to, they've seen the plan can work.
Like Nocek? Nocek?
Nocek.
Nocek?
That is, yeah.
Gadjevich?
What a horrible goal to give up.
Oh, the under the arm.
Horrible goal.
Yeah, that's
I'm telling you.
The playoffs.
What are you backing up on that guy for?
But
the guy's got 3 goals in 100 games. Why are you giving him the blue line 15 feet into the blue line?
Yeah.
Make a save.
Yeah.
Make a save.
Close it off, Sammy.
Make a save. Come on, you can't.
Sammy.
Okay.
If
you're going to pardon Wall for that one, then we might like.
I don't think we're pardoning Wall.
No. Make a save.
Sure.
But don't put him in a position to have to at that point on that guy.
You're not thinking a wrister from the top of the circle that's a flutter puck's going in on your goalie. And I don't want to talk about game 3 anymore. It's going to haunt me forever. But hey, like we started off with me. Like, you don't have.
You guys Willie Nylander? I had an issue with him Friday night, of course, on the game-winning goal where he stood like a statue.
He's out there for 2 minutes. He got stuck in his own zone. He's not going to make it look like he's trying if he can't try, which is a tough look for him. It always has been, you know? He's got no energy. He's just never going to look like
you're almost excusing him for it.
No, I'm not. It was brutal. It's a horrible look. He's stuck out there, but he's just never, he won't pretend to, like, he's not going to do performative trying, unfortunately.
Oh, really?
You would like him to.
And you want them to beat the Stanley Cup champions star players.
He's also carried them offensively, Kipper, when everybody else hasn't been able to score. So I'm willing to pardon a little bit here.
Yeah, no pardon for me, my friend.
Okay.
No.
I think these guys should cheat more offensively.
Ooh.
Next game. More cheating.
Oof.
Yeah.
All right.
It's all good, baby. 2-2.
Solved nothing.
We got
nothing.
A series here.
Solved nothing.
You weren't going to sweep them.
It ain't so bad.
Okay. I love it.
Thanks.
You guys stay positive.
You'll stay negative?
Drag me right into Wednesday. But I need a better look coming off of the Florida Panthers game 4. We're not going anywhere. We go national next. Jody Shelley will join us as we go around the horn, including the Edmonton Oilers. We got a series there as well, gentlemen.
We got a series.
More when we return to Real Kipper and Bourne.